have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Listen, it's been a long day, but we got 1 hour to encourage married couples, both of us, thinking about marriage, And those that are saying, you know what, this marriage just ain't working for me, give tonight a listen. I'm sure we'll change your mind. But listen, so I don't do this by myself. My husband is over there, right there. Y'all see him. I mean, you know. But we have a panel of some people who, a couple of couples who've been married longer than we have, that can give us some sound advice, some godly advice. You know, advice is good as long as it's godly advice. Sometimes, you know, we need to hear what other couples have experienced. So with that being said, let me see who's on this call on the noise. So who's with me tonight?
Brother Chuck's on.
Brother Chuck, what they do? Who else is on tonight? Anybody else on the line tonight? Isaac Gabriel's on tonight. Okay. Is there anybody on the line tonight? I may not know your name, but is there anybody else on the line tonight?
Yes, this is God talking. Blessings to you, Apostle. How are you? I thought I'd join you guys tonight. Kind of relax my mind for tomorrow's service, but why not be in on this wonderful talk show? This is Bishop Ernest Richard, in case you don't know the voice.
Well, good evening. How are you?
I'm alive and well and enjoying Jesus. Trying to behave myself. It ain't working out, but I'm still trying.
Well, my Lord, on today. Huh? All right. Well, let's go ahead and get this show started on tonight. We did have a couple of people. We did post on our social media outlet. Hopefully, someone will join in that we, you know, may have just met again through social media. And if not, they can always come back and listen to the podcast. Tomorrow or the next day. So at this time, I will have my husband, Dr. Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. He's going to play us in. Hey,
precious Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness and your blessings. We thank you, oh God, keeping us and having your way in our life. We pray tonight that as we endeavor to have a discussion, we pray that you would get the glory, that somebody who's listening, their heart would be encouraged, their heart would be turned towards what is right, what is truthful, and what is beneficial, that somebody will love their mate the more, and they will make their marriage more meaningful. We believe you for this, and we thank you in advance. And for this, we give you praise for those who are participating tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen.
Well, blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Excuse me, I got the hiccups. We do thank you for that awesome prayer. So listen, I don't know about anybody else's week, but my week was kind of, it was long. Good God of my, I didn't think Friday was going to ever get here. But it did, and then it's gone, and now it's Saturday, and I got to go back to training. But hey, be that as it may, I do what I do, and I do what I love. So listen, we've been talking about weaving in our marriage. We were trying to conclude on last Saturday, but I think we're going to conclude the weaving tonight and start on something, a new topic on tonight. But just to recap on last week, we talked about, again, weaving, how when you're married, you weave with one another, weave to one another. What we mean by weaving is that you're building, you're establishing, you're connecting with your mate. it's okay to have what we call heated testimony service. That's what my husband and I call our conversations once they get a little hot and singed. We call them heated testimony services. And if you can't have a heated testimony service and after that join back together, sir, ma'am, something is wrong, and I need you guys to sit down and reevaluate that situation. When you're weaving, you're not going to always agree on everything. When you're weaving, you're not going to always see eye to eye. When you're weaving, it doesn't always feel good. So I'm going to let Dr. Whitlow go ahead and conclude tonight's topic so that we can begin our new topic. Share it away, Dr. Whitlow.
Well, thank you so much, Apostle Fee.
You is welcome.
I thought you were going to go a little deeper since you had been talking and everything.
No, I'm tired.
Lord Jesus, now you're tired. Anyway, or is you tied? Which one?
I'm tied.
You tied? Oh, okay. I didn't put the rope on you, so I don't know how you tied. But praise God. All right, so listen. I want to go back to this scripture real quick. There was something I did not conclude yet, and I want to try to do that tonight. Genesis 2:24, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And as it has been stated, we've been talking about weaving, and we have come up with these definitions for weaving. First, to frequently change direction while moving forward, especially to avoid things that could stop you. Also, to make by intertwining, not twisting, but intertwining. To produce by elaborately combining elements and to unite in a coherent whole. So we have talked about these different things that are necessary. I think one of the best things that we have discovered comes from the heart of Brother Chuck, who says that weaving is similar to stitching. You've got to know how to stitch your marriage, you know, and when you stitch, you're heading in a particular direction to keep certain things in place so that certain things can work well. Now, there have been three things that we have talked about in weaving. We have talked about availability, the state of being otherwise unoccupied. Your marriage doesn't work if you're too busy to have one. Then we talked about bearability, that is capable of being endured, as what Brother Otis would call adaptive tolerance. You've got to learn to deal with some things when it comes to your mate. Then we talked about coachability, that is capable of being easily taught and trained to do something better. I believe that every person thinks that they are a good husband or a good wife because they believe they're a good man or a good woman. But when it comes to your mate, you have to be taught to do what is necessary to please your mate, or you can find yourself in a complicated situation. So you have availability, bearability, coachability. But the final element, I believe, of weaving constitutes desirability. What is desirability? It is the quality of being sexually attractive, and it is the quality of being worth having. Two different things. The quality of being sexually attractive, the quality of being worth having. You may not be sexually attractive to your mate, but your mate ought to still be worth having. Let me say that again. You may not be sexually attractive to your mate, but your mate ought to be worth having. And I think this is very important because a lot of people get married because they're attractive sexually.
Ill.
But, what you mean ill? But they are not worth having because they don't place value on each other.
Well,
for instance, you have a man who is sexually attracted to his wife, but she's not sexually attracted to him, but she believes that he's a good man. She believes that he has a good head on his shoulders. She believes that he does good things, even if he is not sexually attractive. He's worth having because he's a keeper. Yeah. He works. He takes care of the home. He makes sure that her needs are met.
Yeah.
And to her, that makes him worth having.
Yeah.
So for her, that's her desirability. But for him, he's not desirable as he would like to be because she doesn't find him sexually attractive. So in weaving, we have to find a happy medium when it comes to desirability. What do you think about it? Whoever, what do you think about desirability and what I just gave you as a definition?
My Lord on today.
Come on, I'm waiting for the others to respond. I'm kind of trying to wait. I want to get on the back of the bus and ride for a minute. Since nobody's responding, you have absolute correct in that. And what you're saying, one of the things I've noticed, and I know you've probably counseled some of the same people that I have over the days, weeks, months, and years where, and I'm not saying that the young lady was attracted to his money or that he was attracted to her money. They were just a person of interest. You can't say there's a love connection because, and I know we as human beings like to connect things with our emotions. And when we feel like there's no emotional connection, we feel like it's a waste of time. But then there's that one individual, although there's no emotional connection, they tend to find themselves inadvertently attracted to them. It's maybe because of something they do, the way they speak, the way they carry themselves, the way they treat them. It could be any number of things, but there's correctness in what you're saying, sir.
Okay.
I dropped the mic. I'm sorry.
Okay. So I would say that there was something that you said, Dr. Whitlow, that the woman may not be attracted to her husband. See, I think the definition of attraction for some people are a little bit different. So she may look at him in a desirable way, but there's a different desire. The desire may be that she loves him so, but not emotionally or physically attracted. Now, I'm going to go a little bit deeper. Some women... I got to choose my words. No, I don't. I ain't got to choose my words. Whitely, we raw and uncut. Some women may have... Wait a minute. Are we PG or X-rated? I got to make sure.
Christian X-rated. Raw, real. We're triple R. Raw, real, relevant. So that makes it Christian.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna twist it for a minute. So she loves her husband. She desires him. She may not be attracted to him sexually, but she's attracted to him. I'm trying to take the word physical. Because there's more to a relationship than just sex. There's more to being in love with someone than the physical aspect of it. See, some people, Lord have mercy, some people, why am I the only people on this line tonight? It's different. I'm going to just say it like that. It's different because you can love someone and not be in love with them. Yeah. Some people love some people, but they're not in love with them. sit down somewhere, sir. I don't need no cheerleaders back there. So I would say, speaking from my own marriage, being that, you know, my marriage is new, I love my husband. I'm in love with my husband, has been for quite some time now. Did nobody know that but me and Jesus. And when we got married, I looked at him differently because he carries a mantle, but he's a man first. And most women don't understand that. Most of them, would you please sit down and let me focus on this conversation? Some people, some women, they marry the mantle and not the man, and they become disappointed because the attraction is not there like it's supposed to be. So they're confused on what it is. Now, I will say this. With some women, if a man makes her mad, she's withdrawn. So we have to be careful with that because you can unweave a situation. You can literally, because I sew, you can mess up a stitch and you have to go back and tear it apart for you to go back and mend it. Brother Chuck, you know where I'm going with that, so help your sister.
Yeah, and matter of fact, even if you leave a little string hanging out before you hem it in, tie it in tight or tie a knot in, if you leave a little string hanging out, you can pull that string and unweave that what you have woven. So sometimes it's good to make sure that when you're weaving, that at the end of the process, that you put a knot in the string or you put a knot in the thread or you put a knot in such that it will not unravel.
And that there for your safety. That's for safety measures. So, again, if you love your mate, you know, you have to want to weave it. And my husband will tell me if you can't grow it, you sew it. If you can't, what'd you say? If you can't grow it, you sew it. And what else?
Can't rig it, you wig it.
If you can't rig it, you wig it. Lord.
You can't achieve it, you weave it.
What? Huh?
Can't achieve it, you weave it.
If you can't achieve it, you weave it.
Let's pray for him.
Lord, I can't. Y'all hear me? Oh, you know, you have to be willing. In a marriage, let me say this for the listeners that will come back and listen into this podcast. First thing first, let me go ahead and say this. Your marriage is your first ministry. If you're not taking care of your marriage, you cannot take care of God's house. There's no way. I'm not putting you in, Coach. I'm not putting you in yet. You can mess up your marriage and go to God's house and tear people up because you're preaching out of your flesh. You're preaching out of your hurt and your disappointment. So you have to take care of your first ministry, which is your marriage. You have to. Then you can go to God's house and teach God. You can be the most, Lord, what's the term I'm looking for? You can be the best preacher out there. Know the word from Revelation back to Genesis or Genesis to Revelation. But if you're married and you don't know how to treat your spouse, you got a problem, sir, ma'am. Now you can get in.
So my question is this. If marriage is your first ministry, then how do you take care of your marriage? Because people can talk about it, but people don't understand what marriage is. So how do you take care of your marriage?
Well, you go back to Genesis.
That's the
third chapter.
And listen to the serpent?
Well, go back to chapter 2. No, you don't listen to no serpent.
What did you say? Go back to the third chapter.
Go to chapter 2. So you have to, okay. marriage, I won't say marriage. Well, I guess I can. Marriage is what you make it. So if you're married and y'all bumping heads, I'm going to say it's okay at first because you're still learning each other. You have now, in the words of my brother Chuck, you have now threaded your needle. The more you get to know each other, the more you love on each other, you begin to sow. The more it happens days and days and days, hours and weeks and months and years, you come into a straight line of weaving. But when you hit a rough patch in the material, and I'm going to say in your marriage, you don't stop stitching. You don't stop weaving. You don't. You do not. Some marriages are good, and nobody can tell me that their marriage is perfect. I'm going to call you a liar. And the truth ain't nowhere in you. You've clashed about something. You had a disagreement about something. You were upset about something. You had to leave the house for a few minutes. You had to walk out the door. All that. It doesn't mean that you stop weaving. You don't. Even after a divorce, some people still don't stop weaving. I said some. I didn't say all. I said S-O-M-E, some. Anybody else agree with that?
Okay, yeah, I do. I do. I really do. One thing, if I may be permitted to add, is the very fact that we have to really, really, if we know anything about our mates, and I'm hoping that before we get married, we've learned something about our mate. Recognize that just like us, they have baggage. Don't sit there and try to unpack the baggage. Let the baggage unpack itself, because if you go start unpacking the baggage, you're going to find stuff you didn't know nothing about, and all you've done was made the situation worse. Then you'll be weaving for real.
My Lord on today. Okay. Brother Chuck, what you got to say about this?
Well, when you're weaving or when you're sewing, there's something called a tight stitch and a loose stitch. And I think the tighter the stitch, stronger the bond. So you can be woven, but your stitches can be so wide that there's room for the devil to get in between those stitches. So
yeah.
I dropped the mic after having said that, because we are stitched together, but we are not in unity.
Can I pick that mic up, please? May I have permission to pick the mic up? I need permission to pick that mic up. Let me use your words. Put me in, Coach. Put me in.
Go ahead.
Anyway, I like what he just said, because he just brought back to remembrance, and I believe it's in Proverbs, where it says a three-strand cord is not easily broken. If you have to weave, if you're going to weave, I would advise you to center yourself around the Lord Jesus Christ, because in and of our own physical, natural human strength, we're bound to mess up. And he talked about the tight stitch and the loose stitch. Sometimes you can have what you call a tight stitch, but the tight stitch has all what you think should happen in a marriage. Now you're straining the relationship. And, you know, you can pull but so hard before you either break the thread and cause the remainder of the thing that you're trying to stitch up to remain still unstitched or unsewn. I don't know what it is. I ain't no tailor, so I ain't going to try to be proper in that respect. You can do the loose stitch, which means there's too much room for too many other things to go wrong. Now, when he turned around and talked about tightening it up, I mean, the other thing that came to mind is in every relationship, don't give any place to the devil. Y'all know the old saying, if you give him a ride, he's going to want to drive, and eventually he's going to steal your car. End of story. Now I drop the mic again.
Oh, my. Now, I like this kind of carrying on. Because he, oh, my. Oh, my. Now, that's going to preach. Somebody going to preach that on Sunday. So here's the thing. in stitching, I said it before, when I'm making my lap scarves, I use a certain stitch. I use a cross stitch. A cross stitch has two pieces of thread, two. Because if I use a single stitch, as Brother Chuck has stated, if I cut it, unravel, but it's the double, it's the seal that holds it together. It's the bond that holds it together. So if you're in a marriage by yourself, I'm going to need you to check your stitch. Because there's no marriage of oneness. I'm talking about being in the marriage. I'm not talking about not y'all not coming into two into one. I'm saying that if you have a male and a female, and only one is putting in and the other one is not trying, then there is still hope if you want it. That's what I'm talking about. You've got to want this thing. You've got to want to stitch together. You've got to want a bond together. Why do I have the hiccup? You've got to want to bond together. That's what makes a marriage. I'm not telling you, and please, I quote this, I'm not telling you that all marriages are perfect. You're going to have some good days. You're going to have some bad days. You're going to have some ups. You're going to have some downs. The thing is, you don't throw in the towel just because afflictions come. The scripture tells us many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them out of them all. Many are the afflictions. What I've noticed is that the devil, of course, does not like unity. So whenever a husband and a wife begins to stitch and weave together, and that weave cannot easily be broken, as Bishop has said, and that strand is so tight that he would you look here, you miss a stitch, and here he comes. And some of us are so deep and so highly minded that you can't even see it. You don't even recognize it.
Come on now.
So when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against it. But you got to want that standard to be lifted. Okay. Now, I'm going to drop the mic, and I'm going to give the mic to Dr. Whitlow, because he over there, he about to take off running. He might even shout a little bit. Go ahead, sir.
No, I really think that I always like Brother Chuck when he shares about different stitchings. You have to know the stitching that is going to work for you. But I want to get back to this desirability, because if there's no true desire, then there's going to be a problem with weaving. The same as with availability and bearability and coachability contributes for a reason. It contributes to help develop your marriage. And I say this often, and I've been saying this for almost 3 years, that your desire has to meet God's design. So people desire to be married, but they don't meet the design that God intended for marriage. God intended for you to be available when you're married. That's why he said it's not good that you should be alone. He intended for there to be bearability. He said, I'm going to create a help me. He designed coachability. That's why the man said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. Right? So then desirability, here a man says, I'm going to call her a woman because she was taken from a man. And he looked at her and he was like, whoa, like, wow, like, I'm in awe. I'm amazed because this is the definition of what I was looking for. I can say this, that many people, they get married to an individual and they're saying, but this is not what I really wanted. I'm going to insert this, and I want to help somebody, and I'm pretty certain that Bishop Richard is going to jump in on this. But Miles Monroe once said, every person had an image in their mind of what
their perfect mate is like. The perfect build, the perfect height, the perfect dress, fragrance, whatever. However, no individual gets that perfect individual. Not one. He said, so what happens is the man, he cultivates that woman into that perfect design, vice versa with that woman. And I said this to my wife a few weeks ago. I said, the Lord spoke to me, and he said that marriage is the promise, but your mate is your project. And that is something that people would probably be offended by, because they're saying, well, no, I'm not here to, I'm not doing a project with my man and or with my woman. No, if she ain't what I'm looking for, and or she ain't what I hoped for and whatever, then she ain't the thing. And that's not the case. That's not the case. They if you don't build that through the stitching, if you don't build that through the development, if you don't build that through the adaptability, then you don't have a project to work on. What do you think there, Bishop?
Well, sir, you covered every base. I'm just going to steal home here just for a few seconds, if you don't mind. And really, what you're saying in essence, and correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying in essence is if you're not willing to put in the work, don't look to get paid. End of story. And there's no better way to say it. I mean, too many folk want the benefits of marriage. Too many people want the glory, the glit, and the glamour that comes with marriage, but they're not willing to take on what it takes. I mean, let's throw one more in there. Can I go just one other way? I want to step away from the stitching for 35 seconds. Let's talk about construction for a minute. We already know the foundation of every marriage should be Christ. Love should be the overlay onto that foundation. Now, what you put on it after that depends on where you want to go and what you want to do. This is where the work comes in. We men, and I'm talking about us men first. I'll get to the women in 27 seconds. I'm going to try to do this in a minute because y'all know you give a preacher a mic in space, they'll be there all afternoon. So I'm going to try to cut it down for you. The bottom line is when you decide that you want to be married, that you're determined to live according to the scriptures, according to what God's standards are, A, number one, we've said this, Apostle Dr. Whitlow, we've said this 1,000 times. We as men, we realize we're the prophet, priests, and kings of our household. That doesn't make us the boss. It makes us the servant leaders, which means that we can't stand behind a desk, crack a whip, and say, you did this and you do that. We got to get in the trenches and pull along with them, because literally the weight belongs to us. We ask that woman to come into our life and develop a family. I want you to have my babies, and you're going to help me raise our babies so that they can be the president of the United States or some important figure that's going to make an impact on the world. But I need you to help me to fulfill this vision. How in the world are you going to sit there? It was okay when you went in on the into your love tryst the night of the honeymoon and you were swinging on the chandelier and tied legs to the bedpost and then broke up a few headboards, and now you owe Motel 6 a couple of dollars because you done busted up a few lamps. Now the baby comes, and then you're going to walk away like you ain't did nothing. What's wrong with you, man? I'm going to stop right there.
I don't know how much of a security deposit he's leaving on that room at the motel, but I don't want to follow him into that one.
I want to say something because this started on it, but I thought he was going to go a little deeper. When
trying to behave myself.
When God gave Dr. Whitlow that can I say, what was it, a vision or illustration or that nugget? I was saying, when he said project, I did not get offended, because God does not deal with us on levels. He deals with us in dimensions. That's measurements.
Yep.
Just think about it. It's a measurement. So when you're building, I told him, let's build a mansion. This is a project that we're working on, but let's build a mansion. You get where I'm coming from? Because God promised us mansions. He ain't promised us no apartment. I thought y'all was going to go there.
Oh, no, you're right. I'm going to say you're right. And I use my own self, if I may. I use my own self as an example. You know, and I got to do something. I hope y'all don't mind. I got to go back just a little bit to come forward. The previous marriage that I was in, I said to my former wife, God told me I'm going to have a house. You know, this woman laughed at me. And Dr. Whitlow knows who she is. You already may know who she is, but I'm going to keep names out of this to protect the not-so-innocent. But nonetheless, when I said to this individual that God told me I was going to have a house, she laughed at me, like, yeah, okay, right, whatever, and went on. I said, okay, well, I've already figured out you won't be there when I get it. And right now, and I mean, Dr. Whitlow hasn't been here yet, neither have you, and when y'all come, we'll welcome you in. You'll see what God has done. That's all I need to say, because here it is, and I tell people all the time, you're talking to a man who about 9-10 years ago was literally homeless. Now I'm living in a home. Well, let's leave it right there. You don't need to know what it costs. The truth of the matter is it's all God, and that's all that counts. No, I didn't want no apartment. I didn't want a condominium. I didn't want a high rise. I wanted a house. I wanted land. And what I asked God for, he gave.
That's it. No explanation to it. You know, again, God gives us our heart's desire. Our heart, come on now. Where your mindset at? Where is your mentality? Is your mentality and your mindset on the apartment? Because you'll never own the apartment unless you buy the whole building.
Mm-hmm. What does he say about being unequally yoked? What does that mean? I always have trouble explaining that. Because I think unless you walk together, you can't run together. So what does it mean when he say unequally yoked? If I want a mansion on the hill and she wants an apartment in the hood, I mean, is that equally yoked? And I think that's what Bishop was just saying. His vision, I think, exceeded the dreams of the person that he was speaking with. Maybe. I don't know. I dropped the mic.
I think the easiest way to approach the answer to that is based upon two different strengths. So hear me. During the time of the ox or getting the treading out the corn or the different animals, they would pair up to prepare the land to be groomed for planting seeds. You had a strong, you would have a strong animal, and he would be paired up with a weaker animal. And the thing is, the stronger animal would basically pull most of the weight, and that weaker one would kind of be like a hindrance. And so you have to consider that when you deal with unequally yoked, you have one who pulls weight and one who doesn't. You have one who works, one who takes it easy. You have one who's diligent and one who's lazy. So when you talk about being unequally yoked, it's really about an unbalance because you don't have the same desire, the same zeal. You don't have the same strength. That's why it says, what fellowship does light have with darkness and unrighteousness with righteousness? It's like you're going in two different directions because you have two different desires. So if a man and a woman are getting married or they are married, right, and you have one who is stronger than the other, that's going to be an issue, and someone is going to feel like they're being shortchanged. That's what you deal with when you deal with being unequally yoked.
Exactly.
Carry that just
and I dropped the mic.
Hey, what he said.
You're carrying it just a little further from an old Alabama boy that knows what plowing is all about. One of the things we discovered is that you didn't want to hook, if you're running a team, you didn't want to hook a mule to a horse. And in that
better
team, you did not want to have a mule and a horse team. You either have two mules or two horses. So one of the things that we, and that's what I mean when I'm saying you're unequally yoked. If you got a mule and a horse, that mule is going to lay back and the horse is going to do most of the work. So
can I throw something else on that, Brother Chuck? I mean, let me let you finish your statement. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
No. Go ahead on. I'm pretty much dropped the mic.
Just really to add, and you look at it in terms of relationships, can't put a Shetland pony with, what's that big horse called, that Budweiser horse? Clydesdale. You can't put a Shetland pony next to a Clydesdale. I mean, you got two horses, but they are not two of the same type horse. One is much stronger than the other, can carry much more weight than the other. I think the Shetland pony is a showpiece, but that's my personal opinion. Okay, I'm putting the mic down. I'm going to lay it down. I'm not going to drop it this time.
Well, that's all true. You know, a Clydesdale, that it is a show horse. It really is. But that's like putting a donkey and a sheep together.
Oh, that's not going to work. God, I hate to see their kids. I don't want to see their kids. Ugly little rascals.
I'll do PG. A manatee and a great whale.
Uh-oh. Not working.
And a shark. Well, actually, both of them, they might, well, the alligator and the shark might pull the same way because both of them got sharp teeth and they'll bite you.
Yeah.
I might just squeeze you.
I think a shark is faster than an alligator because the alligator don't see him coming. He's dead in the water, literally.
Yeah. So basically what I'm hearing is that nobody wants to be married to somebody that unequal. Well, there are some people that's unequally yoked. But nobody on this line wants to be married to somebody that's unequally yoked because it puts a strain on it. Then that stitch. It's just one stitch instead of two.
Man.
And then you got a whole bunch of problems.
Well, I'd like to agree with you, but I'm forced to disagree because the only way that you can be a certain that you're unequally yoked is that you got to be a Siamese twin because otherwise we all an unfinished business working toward an objective of being a finished business. So I don't think that we're ever going to find that which is perfectly with us. And I think that is where we have to try to bring in the spirit and also we begin to consider that which God has joined together. Let no man put asunder. Because I think if we're looking for that perfect mate, we are going to be blind by the time we find them. Now drop the mic.
Okay. Something to think about.
That was a good. Go ahead.
No. I was just listening, contemplating what he just said. I mean, I don't want to keep beating a dead horse because he still can't win the Kentucky Derby. But the truth of the matter is, if that mate does not fit like a well-tailored suit, getting back to the weaving portions and using that aspect, there would be no real need for you to weave according to the description that Dr. Whitlow gave. If you're willing, I mean, let me say it this way, and I could be wrong. I ain't no expert. I just been around a little bit. Maybe I learned a little bit, and I'm going to try to share the little itty-bitty knowledge that I may have had. Do I want a weave in my marriage, or would I like my marriage to be braided? Is there a difference between the two?
It is.
Yes, that
a
question.
Yes.
Well, see, I'm saying, do I want my marriage braided, or do I want it weaved? What
you
makes
want
it,
weaved.
Which one is better? I want it weaved.
A weave.
And why wouldn't I want it braided? I already know the answer, but you're going to probably say it after you answer this. Why wouldn't I want it braided?
Why wouldn't you?
Think about it. I mean, let's do a natural braid. What does it do? It looks pretty in the beginning, but over some time,
braid.
It, yeah, And it, over some time, it gets a little frizzy, a little nappy, and starts loosening up. That's why I don't want it braided.
Mm-hmm. You can't braid two strands of hair.
You twist them.
Amen. Amen.
You twist them. That's why I said earlier, three-strand cord is not easily broken. Now you can braid because you got that third strand. And you
but
got
who,
strength in that third strand.
What can we tell those that may not have God in the center of their marriage?
You want me to go
because
there? Here we go.
Go ahead. One to stand in front of the witnesses, the minister that's doing the wedding, the one that's presiding. You're standing before God and witnesses. God and witnesses, because God, he wants unity in marriage.
I
Lord, this football game about to have me all stressed out. I'm sorry, y'all. Oh, my God.
Don't stress. They're going to lose anyway, well, so just go ahead on.
No, Michigan's going to win.
Okay. I'm letting that one go.
Isn't there a difference between a marriage and a wedding?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying in order for us to encourage those that are going to get married, they're standing before God and witnesses because the book that they're reading out of, the book that the marriages now or days are being read out of, it symbolizes scriptures. They have scriptures in it. So if you can't put God first in your marriage, what do you have?
The justice of
mess.
Peace. The justice of peace. The justice of peace doesn't.
You're right. They don't go as thorough as the ministers do. You're absolutely right, and I know where you're going with that. You are correct. Because all they do is, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband and this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? And that's it. But most people who are married in front of a minister, they go, man, look here. I wish we could film, release the film of our entire wedding. Because look here. Good God Almighty. We had church.
I saw your wedding. I enjoyed it myself. I said, oh, gee. Get it out now, because when you get to the love church, ain't going to be no shouting. Oh, yeah, there will be, but not that kind. But let's move on. Anyway.
Amen.
So,
hey, well, we grown folks, so let's just talk about it. Shabadoo, as somebody used to say.
I just need for those to understand that when you're saying your I do's, make sure you really do.
Ooh! That's right.
Make sure you really do. Because if you don't, and you done said you do, you're going to be in a world of trouble.
Got that right.
You had it for, and it was just you saying, that's our God Almighty.
Go for it. Come on. You on a hot roll. Act like this is a hot buttered roll and go ahead and eat. Hey, put the butter on it and eat.
Right, because then you have just entered in a situation that, listen, may cost you something to get out of. So I would rather if you don't do it, don't do it. If you don't do it. If you do it with grace. Because I'm going to tell you, being married is a humbling experience. Being married, you will be gracefully broken. Oh, my God.
But you know what, sis? Can I throw something on top of that? Can I please throw something?
Yeah.
You may be gracefully broken.
Gracefully broken.
But think about it. But think about it. You may be gracefully broken, but you'll be the blessing God called you to be. Let's go back to the illustration of Christ and the communion supper. He blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave it out. And that's really where we are or should be in marriages. I don't care who you are, saved or otherwise. If you're not allowing yourself to be broken so that you could be a blessing, why are you there?
You know, it's amazing that you said that, because all day I was hearing this song about being broken, but I thought about it. I said, even though it's broken, it's still usable.
Because he said, a contrite spirit. And, oh, God.
Okay.
Boy. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Well, I guess you're happy with Jesus alone. You do that. Anyway, so as I was saying, being broken does not mean you're not usable. And you were right, Bishop, in that Jesus broke the bread. But then if you think about the fish in the barley loaves, he blessed it, then he broke it, and then everybody benefited from it. So sometimes your greatest benefit comes from being broken.
Amen. I agree.
Sometimes your brokenness, it can really contribute to the benefit of the marriage becoming what it's meant to be.
And can I add to you, sir, if you don't mind? Think about this.
Add,
now you're talking about the Christ-like covenant that marriage should be. When you get to that point, you are talking about the Christ-like covenant that marriage was intended to be. A lot of us forget the fact that marriage, and you said it earlier, Apostle Whitlow. I got Dr. Whitlow. Y'all know how I'm differentiating who I'm talking to. You said it earlier, Apostle/Only Lady Whitlow, as I see in her comment, Only Lady Whitlow. Anyway, the truth of the matter is, and when we respect, understand, and reverence the covenant, because we serve a God who is a God of covenant, for those of us who are saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized, tongue-toting, Bible-toting, tongue-talking believers, now we're putting ourselves in a position where the marriage can be blessed because it was broken. In other words, our ideologies, our theologies, our thought processes, and everything we thought marriage ought to be has been placed in the charge, care, and in the hands of a God who has the ability to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Now he's got to break it up because he needs models. He needs standards. He needs somebody with principles, with morals, with scruples, somebody that can be, you know how they make these models when they're going to build a stadium or they're going to build a complex, and they bring this little model and they put it on the desk and they tell them where everything's going to be. God's looking for people who are going to fulfill that role. My question to those of you listening at this particular hour, can you be, I ain't laying it down this time, I'm slamming it.
My God. Y'all, listen.
But generally constructed by a variety of skills, so I don't think we can be everything for everybody.
We can't, just to our spouses. I can't be everything to everybody, but here it is. My strengths and her strengths and my weaknesses should bring us to a point and place in the process of weaving that we strengthen the areas that are weak. And we embrace the areas that have strength so that we would gather more strength. You said it earlier, Brother Chuck, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't run together if you can't walk together. Now, how am I going to do ministry together if we're not willing to walk and see eye to eye? Now, my wife and I say this up front. We may not be the most perfect, but one thing is for sure, that when we agree, or I should say when we agree to disagree. Ain't no sense in arguing and debating. I say left, she says right. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to agree to disagree. But now we have to find a happy medium that's going to take us in a direction that's going to bless us, and not just us, but those around us. You got to understand, since my father passed away, I've become the patriarch of my family, and my family does rely and depend on me in so many areas and aspects of life. So making irrational decisions is not an option here. We turn around and start talking about family stuff. We have to get on level ground here. We're dealing with a situation now. I'll tell this real quick and I'll get right out the way. Dealing with a situation now where we got a grandson in jail for a crime. We're not sure whether he committed it or not. But the problem here is the weapon that was involved in this crime was in his possession. So it's a pretty sticky situation, and everybody is on pins and needles. Don't know if he's going to get huge amounts of time, or is he going to get probate. They don't know what's going to happen. All I know is God got the final say. And so I'm spending my time keeping them sedated and helping them to understand that God got this under control. Yeah, he messed up, but at the same time, God can take what he messed up, and you alluded to it, Apostle Whitlow, but I'm going to throw scripture to it. The clay was marred in the hands of the potter. But the potter wants to put him back together again. Your marriage is not so far gone that it cannot be repaired. Now I slam the mic for the third time. Go buy a new mic, somebody.
Listen.
Paul and Silas did a little time, so going through the lockup process is not the worst thing that can happen.
Well, he shouldn't be there to begin with, but that's my opinion.
Amen.
Well, that's serious.
That's not what.
But listen, you.
I'm just saying. That, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm listening
to
you.
Get your last piece.
No. You're pretty close to cutting off. Well, all I'm simply saying is sometimes we can be in wrong place, right time, or right place, wrong time. The truth of the matter is, when you're in either situation, how are you going to handle it? What are you going to do about it? How do you want to make this right? In the area of marriage, relationships, love, sex, money, communication, and all this weaves together. And it's all got to work together. I know everybody will grab that scripture out of Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and call according to purpose.
Pause right there.
Okay.
I was going to, but I need you to go back too. Because if you give Romans 8:28 to that situation, I also need you to look at Proverbs 3:5-6. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So you can't do Proverbs 3:5-6 and then not do Romans 8:28.
I agree, but the problem here is when you're dealing with somebody that knows about Christ but has no relationship with Christ, Romans 8:28 has to come into effect to get them to Proverbs 3:5-6. You know, because if they don't have a relationship, they can't trust God if they don't know God. That's hard for them to do. We got to come to know him.
We're going to pray that they get to know God, because
well, I got a better idea. Put me in the cell with him, and, you know, when you come back, his head will be a little swollen, but he'll be all right.
Be careful with that cellmate.
No, well, here's the problem, Brother Chuck. 30 grand ain't nothing to laugh about, okay, bro? $30,000 ain't nothing to laugh about. That's all I'm going to say on that. And I ain't ticked because of the money. I'm ticked because of stupidity. And in the middle of a relationship, that can stress and strain a relationship easy. A lot of people don't realize. I mentioned it earlier, communication, sex, and money. Those are three areas where a relationship can be very easily strained. That's the difference between that tight stitch and that loose stitch. Those three areas will determine how much strength that relationship really has. I got to tell somebody. Somebody else wants to get married in another month or so, and I've said this, if they don't come across, don't look for me to marry you, because I'm sorry. I want to make sure you understand you. I want you to know what you're getting into. I don't want you to think this is I love you and I love you too, and you got pretty lips and you look like you got some cute little hips, and I think I can get in there and twist us up a little bit. It goes a little further than that. You be doing more than twisting. I'm going to leave that alone. I'm all out of line. I apologize, Dr. Whitlow.
No, you're lying.
Apostle Whitlow. I apologize.
Y'all should see my husband right now. But okay, guys, so for real though, all just aside, we're never out of conversation, but we are out of time. You know, I want to thank Bishop Richard and Brother Chuck for joining us on tonight. on making marriage meaningful, and anyone else that I may have missed that has called in just to listen, hung up, have somebody else call in, listen, and hang up. Listen, make your marriage meaningful. If your marriage cannot be number one, why are you putting it number two? That means that it's not a priority to you. Your marriage has to be your first priority. Everything else will flow. Everything else will line up. But listen, again, thank you guys so much for joining us on tonight. We will be back again on next Saturday, November 5th, the same time, same place, and same phone number. So I'm going to let Dr. Whitlow close us out with that one, because y'all know he gets all, you know, deep, and with that changing of his voice, he got to say what to say. Go ahead and say it, sir.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I always say your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Dr. Kim, get that track ready. In the meantime, y'all have a great night. We'll talk to y'all next week. In the meantime, go with God, and he will, and he will go with you. Boom.
Come on.
Do you really know the Lord? Is he a stranger to your soul? Does his spirit dwell within? Do you really know? Into your life, he will remove all misery and strife. Do you know the Lord? Do you know the time you waste as you procrastinate? We're living in perilous time. Why can't you make up your mind? Do you dying day by day, and all we can do is fast and pray? Don't let it be said too late. There's no more, no more time to waste. Do you know. you.